Boston's home for sports is on your phone.
Yeah!
Listen live and check out our podcast with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Brian Windhorst is an interesting guy. I don't know if in sports history someone's career has been dedicated to a single athlete, covering a single athlete from high school through their professional career.
Only for short periods of time can I ever think of athletes. Who was the guy that followed Barry Bonds around for about 4 years?
From ESPN.
Pedro Gomez. Thank you, Dan O'Brien. Yeah, Pedro Gomez.
That was involving a trial and allegations of steroid use. This is just a man who has devoted his life. What is this? LeBron's what year?
I mean,
15th. If it's his 15th year, then he's followed him for 17 years because he followed him, I think, for his last 2 years in Akron, at least. So we're working on 20 years of following one man and writing about one man.
Mm-hmm.
And now some things have to crush him. Like, he wrote the article about how efficient LeBron James is, and he knows when to walk, and then LeBron James was confronted with that information and said it was total BS.
Yeah, yesterday he was asked about it, and he said, what about the article that says the tracking data says you're slowing down? He said, that's the dumbest blank I've ever heard. That tracking BS can kiss my ass. So there you go. So he probably, one lone tear, wrote down Windhorse's, or maybe it was more like, he read it. Thank you, LeBron. Thank you. Yes, it is the worst, and I'm the worst. I should be punished.
Maybe there's a safe word.
Maybe that's what it was.
Orange.
It's like, I've been so naughty, LeBron. Yeah, maybe what are you gonna do?
He's 17 years, by the way, 15 in the NBA. So
He has a safe word for LeBron when he's being too mean.
Okay. Brian Windhorst is a he's got to write something.
It's got to be positive.
And it's got to be positive. You can't do anything negative about LeBron James. So what do you get this week? You get something simply titled, LeBron James's NBA Story Can't Be Told Without These 13 Moments. So he goes through and he opens up his folder and just rifles through with his fingers and goes, which ones make him look like a god? Which ones make him look like more than a man?
And because we're so unaware of the achievements of LeBron James.
Right.
Thank you, Brian, for finally putting these down on paper.
That's right. We don't really know LeBron James until we know these 13 moments.
See, I could see Bob Cousy before, like, the games were on television.
Right.
You could go, I don't know if you remember the game of Bob Cousy, but here is what he was capable of. Now, I don't know if anyone would read the article, but there would be a point to it. LeBron James has been... Every single one of his games has been on television.
Yeah, I think pretty much every moment of his basketball life has been documented in some sort of way.
And over-documented, someone may make the argument.
Well, I mean, if you've ever watched ESPN, I think that's an easy argument to make. So let's go down and look at some of these stories, starting off with one that's just called A Comforting Conversation. I imagine Windhorst writing this with a feather pen as he dips it in his jar of ink.
And then trying to keep his tears from making the ink run.
On an off day in March 2009, James drove 2 hours to Columbus to attend a high school championship game featuring his alma mater St. Vincent St. Mary and Thurgood Marshall, a high school in Dayton. It was a hotly contested game with James's school ultimately winning by 6, but Thurgood Marshall's Juwan Statton, a spark plug junior at the time, scored 28 points in defeat. In the moments after the final buzzer, Statton broke down in exhaustion and grief, holding his head in his hands as he started to cry. He felt someone hug him and start to speak to him. Quote, James grabbed me close. He told me that he lost the state final his junior year. He told me that I was a special player and to keep my head up, said Statton.
And then Statton said, what smells like salami? And Windhorst was standing there taking notes.
Why is it hotter all of a sudden? Why is the air around me so thick?
And then he turned and said, who's the guy with ketchup on his shirt?
He told me to remember the moment for the rest of my life. He told me to let that drive me for the rest of my life, never to feel like that again. Those were wise words, and I've tried to live by them. The moment created a remarkable photo, James comforting and offering advice to a teenager in a devastating moment. Quote, "It's just who I am, I guess. It's not like it was planned," James said. "Obviously, I just recognized the kid had a lot of talent. He played his heart out against our high school, and he just wanted to win that game as bad as, you know, probably living. And I mean, he was just crying like a disaster, you know? I've been there. It was my junior year."
And then Windhorst said, "Do you have a change of underwear? I've ejaculated."
Can you just... Pardon me while I smoke a cigarette. "I just wanted to try to give my words of encouragement any way I do, because that's just who I am." Oh, I hate you, LeBron James, and I hate you, Brian Windhorst, even more. I just say, listen, I'm just a great guy. It's the kind of great person I am.
I like how he drove 2 hours to a game. Wow.
Yeah, wow. Can you believe that?
Wow, he went to go see his high school team play.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and he continues to go through a bunch of these. Oh, this is a good one, too. When James first joined the Miami Heat, there were a few figures more reviled in professional sports. Overnight, he went from celebrated in the only home he'd ever known in Northeast Ohio to perceived as disloyal and afraid of competition by joining up with the super team in the South Beach. When his life uprooted, something to prove and plenty of vitriol to escape, James took up a new pastime. Bike riding. This is a story we needed to know.
Oh,
according to Brian.
No way. As I futilely tried to follow him.
Jesus. That's right. James needed the bike to get away from you.
I can't really write much about this.
On a sidewalk.
Because.
I assume James would travel great distances, but yeah. I tended to run out of steam.
I just imagine the bike going to be like Fred Flintstone's car when the ribs show up.
That's
just like flip it over to its side.
That's when I invested in a scooter.
Being in Miami, it's all about just trying to have a mental edge, James said. And at that same time, being able to just have a freedom, which is very rare in my life. Longtime friend Randy Mims fashioned stereo speakers on his bike so he could blast music when James and the gang crashed Critical Mass, a street gang event held on the last Friday of every month, when hundreds of bike riders find the route, post it online at the last minute, and pedal around Miami together.
And I, Brian Windhorst, put a basket on front of my bicycle so I'd always have cake.
He put a cake in the basket?
Yes.
Okay. The practice later inspired both a Nike commercial and James's charitable initiative, Wheels for Education, which he doled out bikes and helmets and other gear to children who completed a learning enrichment camp that he sponsored. To be able to have some freedom, James said, and just feel like I was at peace and smell the fresh air.
Until you came around.
Just to get away from Brian Windhorst. And things, that's what he probably did. He probably said, what is the one way I can lose Brian Windhorst? Something fast and that requires physical activity.
Exactly.
A bike. Perfect.
Yep.
That's right. Listen, we're going to use this as conditioning. We're going to use this as a way to get to work. If I could do all this and still go out, play, and dominate, it was more of a mental edge for me. So that's a story that Brian Windhorst believed that we all needed to know.
Is that
so,
LeBron James
rode
a bicycle.
Yeah, that he likes to ride bikes.
And Windhorst very frustrated. None of the spandex could fit.
What was that Adam Sandler skit?
Patty McGee.
Okay, that's right.
Windhorst has really run out of things to talk about.
Oh, of course he did. He just went and found these old stories.
So one is LeBron went to a high school game, and then a kid was crying, so he said, hey, don't cry. And the other one is that he rode bikes.
That he rode bikes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. He was also a fan of diving into pools.
Did you like doing that? You like diving?
Yeah, but you had to do it after you had to do it before Windhorst got in.
Otherwise, no water.
Yeah, it would displace all the water. You could hurt yourself.
Got it.
Windhorst.
Oh, man. Well, so tonight is going to be interesting for a lot of different reasons. Well, first of all, that Jackie McMullen thing that we were talking about earlier. So she says that Marcus Smart, she talked to a bunch of people and said that Marcus Smart is going to take the money wherever it is. It doesn't matter if it's a losing team like Sacramento, she quoted, but if the Celtics come in and offer him just a little bit less than a bad team who's offering like $1 million more, he's still going to go where the cash is.
Well,
I don't blame him.
In the end, if it's only a little bit and the Celtics are going to be over the cap anyway, it's just a matter of how many luxury tax dollars they want to spend. I think if it's close enough and it's $2 million either way, the Celtics will meet that. I think the difference is if the distance is too much. If one team's offering 16 and the Celtics only want to offer 12, then that's a difference. But if it's $1 million or $2 million each year, I bet you they make up that difference.
I don't know.
Unless he might want to start.
Well, that's the other thing. That's is that he won't be
again,
a starter.
You can't stop. I mean, if he wants to go start somewhere, then that's fine. I mean, it doesn't matter if you match it or not. But if all things being equal, I think if it's close, the Celtics match that. But again, it goes back to how much does a special defensive player warrant? I mean, this is unprecedented territory. There have been defensive specialists in this league that can't score, that they got paid nothing. Remember San Antonio used to have a guy by the name of Bruce Bowen, who was a lockdown defender.
Sure.
Got paid nothing.
Well, think of Tony Allen.
Tony Allen got paid nothing. James Posey, who was a defensive specialist here on
different.
That 08 team, got paid nothing.
Everyone wants the next Draymond Green.
So
they
that's
all
fine.
Want that guy who plays
but
rough.
Smart's and not the next Draymond Green.
He's different. But he's as close
different.
As you're going to get right now as far
that,
as someone who's going to be available.
But he's 4 or 5 inches shorter.
Okay, I understand that. But he does change the complete DNA of a team.
I understand that. And that's what makes him an enigma. There's no one that I can think of off the top of my head that's even close to this guy who plays that position that will get paid $15 million a year. This is unprecedented.
Well, I mean, I keep coming back to him, but just think of Evan Turner. I mean, that's unprecedented. I mean, think of the kind of money he got when he was just an energy sixth man off the bench.
But, I mean...
And if you're going to get him that kind of money, Marcus Smart's going to...
But you could quantify that. I mean, Turner at least could score. At least he was a playmaker while he was here in the playoffs. This is something completely different.
Marcus Smart is a playmaker in the playoffs. He is a massive playmaker.
Offensively is what I meant about Evan Turner.
Okay, fine. How was he defensively?
He was awful. I guess what's quantifiable is
if you're that
and
good,
stats. This is something that, without advanced metrics, is not quantifiable. It's what you see with your eyes.
Well, plus minus. I mean, that's
but that
you could
be,
use that. I mean, he changes the tone of a game.
Up to a point. I mean, this. All I'm saying is the dollar figure attached to Marcus Smart is going to be precedent setting. If there's someone else that comes along like Smart in the next 5 years, he's going to be qualified. I mean, compared to whatever Smart gets now,
and is
because
the team,
there's really nobody like him.
Yeah, and is the team going to want to start Smart, or do they think that he's more valuable as this, you know, a bench piece? All interesting because you're right. He is an interesting player.
Yeah.
And that, you know, do you want to pay for someone who's so limited offensively?
Yeah. I mean, you have to go to advanced metrics to figure him out. It's
and do you
unlike
wanna,
anything else.
And do you want to start a guy who's that limited offensively?
Exactly.
And do you want to spend that kind of money if you're a Sacramento when on a guy that is really a piece of, is more valuable to a better team?
Go back to what I said earlier. If you're going to pay him $15 million and you're going to start him, you're going to hand him 15 shots
well,
a game.
You know what, Stats?
Are you prepared to do that?
Stats Magoo, do me a favor. Could you take
yes,
a look?
That would be me. I have the glasses.
You
Let's
do have
go.
The glasses.
What do you got?
Could you take a look? Because I want to just find out just how bad he ranks offensively. Can you take a look at some of
well,
the starting?
Let me give you an example of something that was said is that Chris Webber got in some heat because he said Draymond Green would not start on some teams.
Well, he's wrong.
Well,
I mean, he's just flat out wrong.
But the reason, and I think he is too, but the reasoning is because what he does is more valuable on a good team than it would be for a bad team.
Well, of course. Now, that makes sense. Right. He's able to do some of the things he can do because you have so many great offensive weapons around him. I understand that.
But I think he would be able to take over a game.
But I'm just wondering if we are maybe just because we've seen him take some bad shots. And is he really as bad offensively when you compare him to the rest of the starting point guards in the league? Like percentage-wise. He doesn't get as many touches, obviously, as the starters.
All right.
But I would like you to take a look at that because there might be people who might say, listen, he's not that bad. He's great defensively and not bad offensively. We're going to give him a ridiculous amount of money.
Okay, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Today's birthday shout-out goes to the Rams' Aaron Donald.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Have we found out our Marcus Smart information?
Yeah, a little bit, yep. So what you got, Juan? Because my whole thing is that if he's going to end up getting the kind of money, the story came out from Jackie McMullen yesterday that if the Celtics offered even just a little bit less than any other team, even if it was someone as bad as Sacramento, that according to her, her sources say that Marcus Smart would take the money and go somewhere else. And then you start to figure out how much money is this guy worth, comparisons to Draymond Green, and I have a weird feeling that as bad as we like fear him taking 3-point shots and things like that we've done before, I don't think that offensively he's as awful as we are perceiving him to be. And I just want you to take a quick look and see how does he compare to everyone else.
Okay.
And comparing him to other guards.
To other guards. Yeah, other point guards.
Okay, because I'm going to say he's terrible.
Other point guards. Offensively, you would be right. Among all point guards in the NBA that qualify, the lowest among shooting percentage is Spencer Dinwiddie of Brooklyn, shot about 39% from the field. Marcus Smart, during the regular season, shot 37% from the field.
Yeah.
So he's 30th among all. 3-point field goal percentage, he is 37th among all point guards.
Yeah, he's terrible offensively.
Okay. Terrible offensively.
Now is that percentage, shooting percentage?
Yes, shooting percentage. Right. Okay. Now, there's a stat called PER. Which is a per minute performance rating. You know, John Hollinger put together, it boils a player's
statistics value
into one figure.
Sure.
The average NBA player, if you don't play any games, is 15. Marcus Smart's PER is 10.8.
Basically, if you go by any kind of statistical measure, Marcus Smart is a below average.
However, defensive win shares, according to NBA.com, this is something you can find on Rudy Gobert.
Let me feel it.
Is the leader. Gobert is one of the best defensive players in the league.
Sure.
Marcus Smart, among regular players, is third. Behind Gobert and Robert Covington in Philadelphia in defensive win share. Just
okay,
basically,
well then,
he's awesome defensively.
And he's terrible.
Lousy.
Then he's the defensive version of J.J. Redick.
Okay, fair.
So J.J. Redick just got paid.
Well, J.J. Redick signed a 1-year, $23 million contract, but
But
again, it's quantifiable. You see a guy shoot threes and light it up. That's one thing. Defensively is different.
And also, do you want to invest that kind of money in a guy that is a non-factor?
You have
in
to
offense.
Worry
Listen,
about
I,
him.
I hope not. Like I hope
4-on-5 at the offensive end of the floor. If you hope to go anywhere as a team,
And the best thing you
can't have Marcus Smart go 2-for-10 while playing 40 minutes in a postseason.
And the
game.
Best thing that you hope is that other teams think the same way and that you're getting him for, you know, 12-13 million. Because if you want to keep, I mean, he's definitely worth keeping at that price. We all agree, right? If it's like 12, 13 million,
yes,
you got to keep Marcus Smart.
But when you start talking about
18 million, that's when the decision needs to be made.
No team has had to walk down this path before. I mean, he's a restricted free agent now. You have to come to the table with a big figure to make sure the Celtics don't match it.
By the way, Fred, this is Marcus Smart shooting that low percentage when Brad Stevens is his coach.
Yeah.
What's he going to be when he goes and plays for somebody who's not Brad Stevens? And we've seen it happen all the time.
Yeah,
You're your best self when you're here. Once you get out of that Stevens car wash, you get real dirty. So you wonder what's going to... And even defensively, you wonder if that's going to somehow make a difference.
And he, again, is someone who helps way a lot more on a very, very good team than he would be on a bad team.
Yes.
Because he can concentrate on specializing, and he can be used in situations as a lockdown defender, and you can't have him on a bad team.
He's not one of your big three. He's not a franchise cornerstone.
I don't even know if he's a starter.
I think he probably wants to be. Yeah, you're
right. I'm sure he wants to be, but I'm not sure that a guy that limited offensively at that position, I mean, am I going to start a guard who can't shoot? I mean, maybe.
Rondo. You know, Rondo's been a...
He had three Hall of Famers to pass the ball to. It's a little different.
Well, understood. It depends also what team he's on.
Is Rondo as limited offensively as Marcus Smart? I would say no.
I think Rondo's gotten better. At a time, he was. At a time, I believe Rondo was probably as bad as Marcus Smart. I mean, there was a period of time near the end of the Big Three where I just remember him being atrocious.
Yeah. Anything outside of 5 feet.
He couldn't hit free throws. No, he could not at all.
At least Smart can do that.
I think Smart's actually a pretty good free throw shooter. But I think at one point he was the worst free throw shooter.
Smart, at least when he gets hot, is a threat to hit a three. Rondo never was.
What's the spread tonight, by the way? I got to think that the Cavs are probably still favored.
Well, again, the bankroll boys are no better than me.
The bankroll boys, where are they?
Are they still tweeting out dollar signs?
Dude, all the time. The best is when they go, no, you stay away from this one. You stay away from it because I don't like these refs. Ref talk is the best when it comes to bettors.
It is.
But you know what? Many times they're right. Many times they're actually kind of
You can leave no stone unturned.
Not with the Bankroll Boys. No, you could not. By the way, we talked about Jason Tatum being on that first team, the all-rookie team that was announced, and there was one guy who didn't vote him on the first team, which is ridiculous. Well, good old... what's his name? Not LaMelo. I always forget which one's which. Who's the guy who plays for the Lakers?
Lonzo.
So Lonzo Ball made the second team. Have you seen the ticket prices for LeVar Ball's? He's doing the JBA league. It's it's supposed to be like the up and coming stars. It's basically an alternative to the NCAA, and he's got a league which is going to start in California. Tickets right now are going for $98 a ticket to go see people whose names you don't even know play in this new JBA league.
So
LeVar Ball has started.
That is what he has priced them at.
He expects fans to basically pay NBA caliber prices to see a worse product.
This is just what he did with his shoes. This is all a marketing ploy, and he knows that no one's going to spend $98, and he's making a statement that this is... why should I charge you less?
It's different, and here's why it's different. Because if people don't buy the shoes, he basically bought the shoes when they were ordered. He didn't get them immediately. He didn't make a ton of them and then say, buy them. Here, you're renting out the entire facility.
What do you think the chances are that this thing gets off the ground? I mean, really.
I mean, you're probably right.
He's not exactly bad at 1,000 anymore.
Well, the Los Angeles Ballers, which include two of his sons, are in the season opener on
June
21st.
That's going to be two of his sons that never will sniff the NBA.
What's great, too, is it says afterwards Chicago versus Atlanta, yet it doesn't have the names of the teams, probably because they don't have one yet.
Oh, sure. I mean, who's investing in that
why
league?
You don't need a nickname for a team.
No,
you
of
just need
not.
To be from somewhere. You don't need to, it could be Chicago. You're on Chicago. You're on Atlanta.
Yeah. These are basically glorified AAU games.
Yeah,
and he's charging $100 a ticket to go watch this.
I'm not positive that they're glorified AAU games.
Somebody screen print the T-shirts. That's all you need.
I bet you the talent's a lot less than AAU games.
Hell yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, because the
how
kids...
How else is he going to shine his kids? I mean, how else is he going to make sure the kids play well?
No, and also, if AAU kids go off to play D1 basketball, or they go play in one of the D League or whatever, with any talent is going to play in this LeVar Ball League?
He is the worst. Apparently, according to the JBA, LeVar's league is going to pocket 40% of all player endorsements that they end up getting from.
Well, good. Then he can pocket, what did we get,
40% of nothing.
Yeah, get 50 cents.
Pay for the kids when they're out of a job.
Yeah. All right. Well, you might as well get a percentage of the guys mowing my lawn. All right. What will we talk about in the stack of Rooskies?
Okay. So the NFL did approve some rule changes. We will get to some of those, including brand new kickoff rules, which I guess makes it kind of interesting. Also, there is a store that refused to put a message on somebody's cake.
Yes.
That we will get to.
Obviously, a very educated person refusing to do that. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is going on?
Real quick, a listener brought this to my attention. We were talking about LeVar Ball's Junior Basketball Association, the JBA, that's trying to charge $100 a ticket. The names of the teams: the Atlanta Ballers, the Chicago Ballers, the Dallas Ballers, the Houston Ballers, the Los Angeles Ballers, the New York Ballers, the Philadelphia Ballers, and the Seattle. They're all the Ballers. Okay. On top of that, if you look at the rosters of each player, I'll read you the roster for the Chicago Ballers, shall I?
Yeah.
Zach Crockett, Brado Hargrove, Antonio Singleton, and more to be announced later on.
Yeah, there's some of the luster has gone away from the Baller brand.
Each team has like four people on it.
It's
and
not
then,
going to happen.
The New York Ballers. This is a roster that you can really put some money on. Quan Van Putten.
They'll be playing
and
in Rye.
More to be announced later on. They have one person on the roster for the New York Ballers.
And New York's a big place, so Poughkeepsie, look out. They're going to be playing in your rec league gym.
This is pretty fantastic. So LeVar Ball, obviously knowing that he's going to get paid. I really wonder how much money he made from those sneakers. We talked about, you charge anything $500 and it's a prestige price. There's going to be idiots who buy it.
Right.
I want to know just how much money that they made on that.
I would imagine not much.
No, probably not much at all. Okay, so I was telling you about the story a second ago. So there's a South Carolina family. This woman named Kara Kosinski of Charleston said that her son, Jacob, graduated with highest honors from a Christian-based homeschooling program, and they wanted to celebrate the occasion with a cake from Publix. So she went to the Publix and posted this with a picture of the cake that she received and said, okay, I did not want to post this, but I cannot resist. I ordered Jacob's graduation cake from Publix, a $70 cake. He earned a 4.79 GPA. Publix refused to write the words summa cum laude because I was using, quote, profanity. And when you look at the picture of the cake, it says, congrats, Jacob, summa, and then three dashes, laude.
Isn't it summa cum laude?
I thought it was laude. Is it laude
or
laude?
I thought it was summa cum laude.
Okay.
Either way.
I'll tell you but what, again, I never got it.
I neither did I, so we may very well may be wrong.
He said they put three dashes instead of the word. How utterly ridiculous. And now I'll begin speaking to a manager for a refund. Shame on you, Publix, for turning an innocent Latin phrase into a total embarrassment, for having to explain to my son and others, including my 70-year-old mother, about this joke of a cake. My son was humiliated. I seriously couldn't make this crap up.
Why was the son humiliated? It was funny.
I thought it was kind of funny.
But I do like the people that make the cakes of at Publix being the moral arbiters of what goes on. Like, listen, I make the cake in Publix, and I don't approve of this message.
That's right.
How about you make me 85 penis cakes and keep your mouth shut? How about you have no position in life to tell me what I can and cannot do?
Well, I refuse to make it.
Okay, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
Make whatever I want. How about that? Oh, boy, can you imagine that? The big guy who puts the icing on the cake's got to tell you what's... Because obviously they're huge academics.
Right.
It's not your business. Just do it.
Summa cum laude. Come on, it's Latin people.
I could see if it was like something racist.
Well, then.
And you didn't want your, like.
What state was this in? It's in Charleston. I have a feeling they'd probably like give you a discount.
Yeah, I could see like you don't want to put something racist because you don't want to like have your name on it.
Sure.
But like anything else, like a swear or sex. Stop it. Make the cake. You're so low down the totem pole of people that should be telling me what to do.
Or maybe call the person before you make the cake.
Or how about leave me alone and make the effing cake.
Here's your money. Make the cake.
Yeah.
The only time I ever
And
got-
by the way, if you're at Publix, fine, and you make cakes, you're a very talented baker and it's your favorite job, you love it. Why would you care?
Well, the only thing that I know that I've ever gone to a baker before and they truly cared about was, do you remember that for my wedding, the groomsman cake, I wanted it to have like the cover of Kiss Dynasty on
yes.
it. I wanted someone to make like Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley and recreate the cover on it, you know, the little, you know, stuff, the frosting. And the minute you mention Kiss, everyone, I'm talking from grocery stores to really nice bakeries, go, oh, no, we can't. We can't do Kiss. It's like, well, why? Well, we've been specifically instructed that we cannot use Kiss. Oh, yeah. Like, okay. They came down hard on these people. So what I did was I bought the album, and I just put, like, a piece of wax paper on top of the cake and just put the album on top of the cake. But you may kiss the bride.
Gene wastes so much time.
Oh, a ton of time on that stuff.
I mean, wouldn't you just want to enjoy your money rather than just constantly litigating?
We would think so. All right. So Wallach mentioned yesterday the ranking, ESPN's ranking of the 100 most famous athletes.
Yep.
The way they compiled this was on an athlete's search score, their endorsement deals, social following, and several other things. And we mentioned that number one was Cristiano Ronaldo. LeBron James was two. Messi was number three. But there were some interesting things that came out of this list. First of all, the greatest quarterback of all time is, of course, Tom Brady. We can all agree. He's probably also the face of the NFL, the most popular player probably in the history of the sport, could we say?
Yes.
Okay. 38th. 38th on this list.
I'm imagining he gets killed on the endorsement deal.
Well, he's got a decent amount of endorsements.
Not even close to guys like Peyton Manning, though. I mean, he's not in the same universe.
Sure.
As even Eli Manning, for God's sake.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'll do it all.
So he's 38th on the list, which
that's behind Kyrie Irving.
It's behind Derrick Rose.
That's amazing.
But then again, Derrick Rose had that massive Reebok deal.
Yeah. Adidas.
Was it Adidas?
Reebok.
Okay.
Who cares?
One of the two where he got like a crazy amount of money. The other thing is, if you think that baseball doesn't have a problem right now, there were no baseball players in the list. Not one in the top 100 most famous athletes. Not Bryce Harper, not Mike Trout, neither one.
Harper has some good, decent endorsements,
too. Oh, Harper's T-Mobile, Harper is Gatorade, Harper is, I think he's done a couple other ones. Is Harper on the Papa John train yet?
I don't know.
How many, funny car races are on that?
A decent amount. Matter of fact, there's some F1 driver.
How about the guy who drives Bigfoot? Gravedigger.
Oh, well, the Gravedigger guy. I'm sure, listen to me.
There are a couple of cricket players on this list.
Yeah,
and no baseball players.
Because there's weird countries where people are all, into this
weird
stuff.
Countries?
Mm-hmm.
You said it.
Here we go. Here we go.
You said it.
Yes.
There are guys.
Ireland is a weird country.
There's a guy.
not just Ireland. India? Where else? There are a bunch of places.
There's these guys that play cricket. Like, they practice cricket at this baseball facility. That's a frightening game.
Well, cricket. Okay, that's the one where you have to hit it at the you have to hit the board. It's like you're pitching, but you hit it the board that's behind the guy who has the paddle, right?
I don't know.
The flat edge
paddle. All I know is it's a hard-edge ball.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah, it's like
no
a pool
gloves.
Cue.
You got to catch it barehanded.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on a cruise ship, you get your fill of cricket because it's just
really?
On every television.
International waters.
Yeah, because that's all they get is they get the Caribbean ESPN, and it's constantly cricket.
And they have announced that Double Dare is indeed coming back to Nickelodeon. The first date is June 25th. But the best thing about all this that makes me really warms my heart is that the very OCD Mark Summers is hosting once again.
It's just him washing his hands.
A guy who was living his own private hell while he was hosting the show because he is a neat freak. Is going to have to be around giant peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
He's not
and
a neat
Sundays
freak. He's
and
an incredibly compulsive person that would actually comb the fringes of rugs in his home.
This is insane. I thought that he was just did that and was living the silent hell, but he is coming back. Apparently, he's going to provide color commentary. I bet he's not in the studio. I bet he's got to be away from the studio to be able to do that.
Howie Mandel is a huge germaphobe, and he gets like new toilets put into his house. And Trump is a huge germaphobe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the Howie Mandel story is that somebody came in and he told these construction guys not to use his bathroom. And when he came home one time, a construction guy was coming out of his bathroom and had used his toilet, and he had them completely tear out the toilet and put a new one in.
And then he put a surgical glove over his head and blew it up.
And he started doing Bobby's World.
And then he did Bobby's World for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
He did a nice, 20-minute bit of Bobby's World.
Well, the NFL approved some rule changes, including the kickoffs, where there's going to be an elimination of running starts for the kickoff coverage team. I think they only got 5 yards anyway, usually. They were five yards. But so that is gone. They're going to be right up to where the ball is kicked to the same yard line.
I'm going to get season tickets now.
A requirement that 8 of the 11 men in the return team must be aligned in the setup zone, which is within 15 yards of the ball.
That's a loser.
Mm-hmm. There's no blocking within the setup zone until after the ball touches the ground if it is not first caught.
This is a Slater zone. What do you do? Just kind of let the guys run by you?
Well, you
do
just,
they pop it up?
I guess you kind of got
to. That's what
gotta,
I would do.
I'll
just
figure it out.
Pop it up.
You have to wait until the ball is caught until you can actually block anybody.
Can't touch me. I'm going to run right by you.
Also, the two-man wedge blocks are eliminated, and the kickoff team must have 5 men lined up on either side of the ball. A move that will limit schemes designed to get free runners and coverage down the field. So there you go. I don't think you're going to see a whole hell of a lot of a change.
The NFL is winning me back. Yes, John.
One quick thing. Referee assignments for tonight's game between the Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers. Kenny Maurer, Ed Molloy, and Jason Phillips. Maurer was the lead official when the Celtics got the benefit of the doubt on a shot clock violation and a key basket near the end of Game 5 against Milwaukee. Al Horford missed a three. It should have been a shot clock violation, and Celtics barely won that game. Molloy was the official on a two-point win or two-point loss. Antetokounmpo tips in one at the buzzer, but that's not the interesting part. The interesting part...
Remember, it certainly wasn't.
Remember Tony Brothers, the guy who was the official where the Celtics had lost 18 games in a row?
Yes.
He is in the replay center tonight.
Oh, Jesus. Lord have mercy
on
us.
He is in the replay center
you
tonight.
You've just given me
huge
time
news
to end the show. Because I've checked out.
Last 2 minutes, Tony Brothers is in charge of a key replay.
What do the Bankroll Brothers have to say about
this? That's right. That's going to affect a spread. You know and I know.
And Tommy Smothers is going to be doing politically
Fred, I'm telling you, just ruining the moment here.
I'm sorry.
Killing it. Stepping all over it.
Well, listen.
It's all right, though. I understand.
I'm copying
you. You're still upset about the Jerry Garcia thing. I got it.
I am upset about the Jerry Garcia thing. That was lazy. You know, because that's Wilbur's whole span of knowledge is up there in Vermont. In that bubble of Vermont.
Vermont is a wonderful state.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
It's beautiful. the skiing's nice.
And I got
the summers
news for
are crisp.
If we are syndicated in Vermont, first of all, enjoy the $10. And also, I'm not going to stop saying what a hellacious place
you've never been there.
I've never been to San Quentin, but I know I wouldn't want to be there.
Comparing it to prison now?
Yeah.
Vermont?
And at least San Quentin's got, you can play hoops.
Hey, the Woodstock, you
three
know.
Three square meals a day.
You know, enjoy the little wooden bridge they got there.
No hippies in San Quentin, I'm imagining.
Don't last long.
You'd hate Burlington. You'd hate Burlington.
Of course I'd hate Burlington.
You love a lot of Vermont, you'd hate Burlington. Like, Burlington, it's everything you describe downtown. Everything else is gorgeous.
And you know what? Also, Colorado seems to be a bit of a hellhole as well, according to Facebook. Everyone's going to see, the Spaghetti Incident or whatever the hell the name of that band is.
The Spaghetti Incident? That's the Guns N' Roses album.
The String Cheese Incident.
Right.
Can you imagine, this is so good.
Yo, it's Mofro. Come on, baby.
It was such garbage. Okay, we'll find out what Zoe and Bertrand have on the way. The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The station is making shirts now for the individual shows. And I was at Buff's Pub in Newton, and someone was rocking a Felger and Maz shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And as of tomorrow,
was it Maz?
All right, it was. He was. It just was a picture of Felger.
Have you seen a video of him mowing his lawn?
He mows his own lawn.
It's over Facebook.
Maz.
Our family watches every night and laughs.
Who took the photo?
Well, it's a
video of the company.
It's for a company. Yeah, it's an endorsement. This is we've been waiting for our own shirt. We had one that was kind of just to show what it could do with the, hey, I'm a soccer coach, because I'd mentioned in the air. But here we go. Now we're talking. This is the real Toucher and Rich shirt. The front of it says, hey, guys, hey. And the back of it with the Toucher and Rich logo. Starting tomorrow.
New revenue streams, baby.
These bad boys are going on sale.
Nice.
By the way, I've been bored. When I get bored at night, I sometimes make my own T-shirts. I made this one.
Saugus versus
everybody. I was thinking of your T-shirt, the New England versus everybody,
yeah.
Which was mocking Detroit versus everybody. So I'm like, well, F you, Saugus versus everyone.
You
what
go.
Up, Kowloon? Andy Wong, you know what it's about. All these
make one the Wonger.
What's that?
Make one the Wonger.
The Wonger?
The Wonger.
I should do that. I should send it to Andy Wong. He knows what it's like.
He likes that one.
All these outside Polynesian / Chinese hybrid restaurants trying to take his business. He's hanging out with The Miz and a bunch of wrestlers the other day.
Yeah, he's tweeting it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sarge was apologizing for not being there. You see Sarge's follow-up tweets?
Oh, really?
He apologized?
I salute to the time that's going on there, but he had a prior commitment. He's DJing now, guys. You know that.
Really?
DJ Sarge.
I keep forgetting to put that up.
It's only on Facebook.
Who the hell is going to hire him to do that?
I don't know, 45-year-old women that are having a party?
Why would they hire Sarge?
Get the Sarge.
By the way, I'm looking at the Toucher and Rich Instagram account,
mm-hmm.
and these photoshops of me as Garcia are completely awful.
I want to thank you for doing this, by the way, because you make me want to be better every day now.
Because
I don't want to end up looking like that.
Yeah, okay.
I got to watch what I eat now. I got to shave. I got to get my sideburns dyed.
You're gonna dye your sideburns?
Right, that's the gray hair. If you grow your hair out, you could be Sam Elliott, like the badass dude from Roadhouse.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What's up there, amigo? Come in here to kick some ass.
Beef this one, what's for dinner.
This one Grateful Dead one is just my face without my beard on Jerry Garcia's body. With Jerry Garcia's beard on Jerry Garcia's body. So I take umbrage to that. Then there's, let's see here. By the way, Wallach not having any of these speaks to his popularity.
Well, they've given up on it.
Yeah, they've given up on Wallach.
Well, sure. Wallach jumped the shark.
I can't find any.
It's over. Yeah.
Hey, it's 11 a.m. the next day. Hotel requires you to check out. You've checked out.
All right. Well, nonetheless.
So there you go. So these are on sale tomorrow. The Hey Guys Hey Toucher and Rich shirts.
Those will sell out.
At 98.5. Yeah, I mean, now we have a good shirt. Now that's a good shirt.
There it is.
There you go. 98.5 of sportshub.com. Tomorrow.
They put my face on Pasta Joe.
That was pretty funny.
Then there's a Jerry Garcia next to me.
Mm-hmm.
No similarities other than a beard.
It's when you become the thing you hate.
Yeah, I just think that was lazy hippie Wilbur trying to, you know, spark a little fire.
I just want to hear Scott Zolak and talk about his source war that he had yesterday with Karen Grigian.
I even talked to Karen. It's just...
Well, it is, because she says that
I'm not
Tom
refuting,
Brady
I didn't
was...
add her in refuting this.
Well, you have two completely different accounts of what happened there. She said that Tom Brady was at the TB12 place yesterday while OTAs were going on. And
getting
you
treated,
said,
right?
Yep, getting treated. And you said 100% that did not happen. Okay, so...
It's bad optics for Brady to drive from Brookline to go to his facility while the team's training at the same time. Like, that's horrible optics for a starting quarterback.
Okay, and you're saying he did not do that?
Not do that.
Okay. Which is not what Karen
Grigian. We took Karen's story and ran with it too. Like we did over an hour on it. I think like how bad that was.
How ironclad is your source?
Oh, it's good.
Okay,
it's Tom Brady.
No, it's not Brady. I'm not gonna tell you what. I'm not a reporter. You guys know me. I have fun on Twitter. I tweet crap out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When I have something that's pretty solid, and yeah, I usually get the team spin on stuff. I heard you earlier today on the bench, Jeanette.
We were talking about that, yes.
I did. I sat on the bench with Brady in Pittsburgh about four hours before the game.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Sat there, me and him. And I'm like, wow, this is surreal. It's like when Wallach saw David Ortiz
mm-hmm,
waving
the towel
on the Bruins game. Like, nothing gets better than that, man.
Exactly like that.
Here's my hero across the way.
Yep.
And I can't
imagine him being at a public event.
I was talking to the guy. Like,
Ortiz has a restraining order out on me. So
I'm sure he does.
No chance.
That's like Ken Griffey Jr. does. I got a poster for you, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah. Is I got to bring it in. You got to remind me.
Poster of what? You playing football?
No, Griffey Jr.
Oh, nice.
You'll dig it.
Bring that in.
Given to my dad by his dad.
Wow.
And it's yours, pal.
Wow. Look at you.
About
thank
generous.
You, Scott
yeah.
Zolak.
All right, Scotty
fantastic.
Z, what do you got going on today?
Oh, we got a lot today. I'm starting Celtics today. That's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. We got Dan Shaughnessy. Mr. Gloom and Doom, he'll be in for 2 hours from 11 to 1.
He's got a paycheck right up there hanging on the wall over there.
Everybody talking about Tom Brady.
You want to open up his paycheck, see what's doing?
Yeah, let's do it. And the head coach of the Boston Celtics will join us. Jim, 1250?
Ask him something.
Brad Stevens.
I don't know if you heard this. I heard a story. Somebody told me a story about Brad Stevens. I want to see if you can confirm it. A guy I know said that he knows Brad Stevens' next-door neighbor. Brad Stevens' next-door neighbor apparently broke his wrist this past summer, and Brad Stevens the entire summer mowed his lawn for him because he's that kind of guy.
Okay. Said, I would think Brad Stevens wouldn't have a lawnmower.
Well, he might use his friend's lawnmower.
Well, then why isn't that a lawn
that's
service?
True.
Yep. You know what? He is a good dude because
I think from what I heard, he found out his friend broke his wrist and said, "Listen, let me mow your lawn for you."
Why doesn't the guy get a lawn service instead of making him do that?
You have to ask him that because that sounds so Brad Stevens.
Is this
Stevens?
That billionaire guy that you're palling around with?
No.
Maz with his new mower will mow anybody's lawn at Sudbury for $5. That's how much fun he has.
All right.
It's pretty cool. Long.
Brad Stevens drives his kids to school and drops them off.
Well, yeah, Tom Brady does sometimes, too. So
during the season?
He goes to flag football games because my son's friend's on the same flag football team as Tom Brady's son! All right, everyone have a great day. Bye.